Well, we've seen that the irony or the anomaly, you could say, of lower apprehensions. Apprehensions are almost half, about half of what they were last year, slightly more than half, and yet the deaths are up. There were 232 migrant fatalities for 7 months of 2017, a 17% jump compared to the 204 deaths recorded between January and July of 2016. So the important thing to note is that fewer people seem to be crossing, but a greater percentage are dying.
And I wonder if you can tell us about some of these deaths. Those of us here in the United States, we heard about, you know, the 10 people who died in the trailer. I think it was in Texas. But, I mean, they're horrible stories.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's important to note a few things. One is we've been saying, and we've noticed this all year, and we've been saying it, and people locally on the border have also been saying it, to warn migrants. The Rio Grande, or the Rio Bravo, as it's called in Mexico, is much swifter this year. People, I think, have speculated that big buildup in the reservoir backs some of the water up. Because of heavier rains, it's a much deeper reservoir than it has been in the past, so the engineers are releasing water a little more frequently, and that's causing higher currents. And police and fire and Border Patrol have been warning migrants that this is a much more treacherous river, and that, of course, the drownings really reflect that. I think there were 7 last week. So we know that some of this is just a weather thing. I mean, it's just more rain, more water, faster currents, more deaths in the river. Then, of course, you mentioned the truck in San Antonio. This is not an uncommon occurrence, but it is uncommon in the U.S. That creates sort of a statistical change, too. And the third reason I would say is that we're much more relentless at IOM about data searching than we were. We've gotten much more involved with things like social media and talking to NGOs and talking to advocates groups and keeping tabs on migrants in danger. So we follow up on a lot of tips. You know, we hear about families that say, for sure, our child crossed. He called me from Texas, haven't heard in 3 weeks. And so that gives you a start. And there are ways to learn more about what's happened to that person and who else is looking and who else may confirm an actual fatality. So all these things combine to make our data collection much more thorough than it used to be. So we want to caution those three things, that it isn't necessarily immigration policy or changes in Latin America. There's a lot of changes that go into this data collection. And, you know, what we're showing is a lot more dead. And what we suspect is that it tells us how many we missed in years past.
The numbers are startling, but you also suspect that they may even be higher because, of course, it's hard to know exactly how many people are trying to make this treacherous journey.
Yes, that's true. And also the issue of desaparecidos, you know, missing people, which has been endemic for as long as I've been working in Latin America, which is going on 30 years now. Mexico itself is a place where there's just tens of thousands of missing people over the last 10 years. And now and again, hidden graves are found, you know, unofficial graves or dump spots. And invariably, Central American migrants are found in those graves, too. So we don't think that some of the exaggerated stories of, you know, tens of thousands of missing migrants is probably justified, but, you know, certainly hundreds. And when we learn of them, we add them to our database. Even if we conclude it wasn't one of this year's, we'll put it in the years that we think it comes from.
Despite the dangers on this journey, people still want to make it. They're still looking to achieve what you, as IOM, or as we all call it, the American dream, a better life or whatever. They're escaping poverty or gangs, what have you not. Is there any final message that IOM has in relation to this topic?
Well, I have a personal feeling about this, which is that, you know, you get what you pay for in any policy. And if you pay for punishment and restriction, you're going to get that. You're going to get people having a harder time crossing, but at a certain cost. And the cost isn't just to these lives that are lost, but also what happens to the receiving country. I mean, the arriving country where millions of people that probably would willingly go home every year after their work was done, either agricultural or construction or whatever they're doing, it's too dangerous to make that trip more than once in a lifetime, so they stay. So everything that people who are worried about immigration complain about, there's too many of them, there's too many that are undocumented, there's too many hidden in the shadows. You know, some of that could be alleviated by making a rotational migration a little safer, a little more normal, like it was, you know, 20 years ago. So we think these deaths are really, as much as anything, a function of taking a hard punitive line. And we can understand why countries, and not just the U.S., but why every country wants to control its borders and make sure its laws are respected. But at a certain point, if it's not getting you the results you think you're paying for, you have to examine, you know, why you're doing it.